Welcome to Dragon Talk. This is the official Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Dragon Talk is.
Not those knockoffs.
Not those knockoffs, that's right. I'm Greg Tito, and that other person was... Who are you?
My name is Shelley Mazenoble.
What's up, Shelley?
Hi.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
We have a fourth person in the room with us. It's very exciting. Nathan Stewart, director of D&D, is here.
Thank you. I got applause, a rousing applause.
Yeah. We're contractually obligated to applaud every time you get introduced.
I should actually it's full disclosure, everyone, their annual reviews are coming up.
And it's part of your rider. Every time we mention your name, we have to clap.
It's a good rider.
It's the only way we'll get paid. Basically it.
But it's fine.
We'll talk to Nathan over the course of this whole episode. But first, we have some announcements. We have some things to get to. Feel free to pop in whenever you need to.
If I knew what you were talking about, I would.
I don't even know what we're talking about. That's the funny thing. But Dungeons & Dragons Live from Meltdown is coming up very soon. It's on June 1st, 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Really soon.
Yeah. We want everybody to tune in. It's on Twitch. Twitch.tv/wizards. WotC_D&D. Go check it out there. You should just follow us there. Yep. That's actually probably the easiest way to make sure you're tracking it. But there's also a Facebook event on our Facebook thing, so do that as well. It's going to be where you find out about the next Dungeons & Dragons story.
You got some news to share there?
I got some news
to
share.
So when people are watching, they're going to get some big news?
Yeah.
They're going to get it first. They're going to get it before everyone else. Like, literally, we will be sharing new stuff on the stream that nobody has ever seen or heard.
Exactly. Whoa. It's going to blow minds. Whoa. We'll get to more about everything that's going to blow minds that when we talk to you, Nathan, because there's so much awesome stuff to talk about.
Can I just go ahead and reveal one of the secrets right now?
Whoa.
Go
ahead. Yes. You have secrets?
We're having a black pudding truck there. Pudding trucks are apparently all the rage in L.A.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so we're getting one for the event, and so we're theming it with black pudding.
Hello.
Yeah.
Wait, okay,
yeah.
I'm thinking I'm still stuck.
If you share the black pudding, it does double damage.
And it's actually made of acid and will burn your insides
out.
Well,
that's newsworthy.
That's newsworthy. That's
and you know, in California, they have those food ratings. And so, like, everything like that, you know, it gets an A, B. Like, this definitely gets an F. This pudding will kill you.
It should get a D and a D.
Oh, I see what you did there.
That's a bit of a stretch.
Wait a minute. Really? A pudding truck?
Yes.
We're talking about a pudding. Why is pudding so popular?
Hey, look, I don't ask questions. We're going down to Meltdown. Meltdown told me pudding trucks are in. I said, great, it's a black pudding monster.
A pudding
it's
truck?
True. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, do you want to see a pudding truck?
Yes.
Okay, then don't question it.
All right. Just
there's
going to really
be some other potions and elixirs that we'll be sharing with folks then too.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe a healing potion. Hmm. What would a drink that's based on a healing potion have in it?
Green tea.
Green tea. Okay. What liqueur? Like Midori? Like Midori in there?
That's not healing.
What about the blue stuff?
Yeah. What is the blue
stuff?
Like the purple stuff in the Sunny D commercial, where it's like...
There's a blue liqueur.
Purple stuff.
I forget what it's called. It's
Tang?
That's dirty.
Tang?
Not poo Tang.
No.
You never saw that 70s episode when the mom's like, growing boys need their Tang!
Yes. I did.
That's all I think about it. Someone says Tang now.
Yeah, that makes sense. Astronauts. They made it.
That's
they made the Tang.
Where I went.
Yeah,
and they're sexy, those astronauts. So anyway, D&D Live from Meltdown. We're going to have some sexy astronauts there. We're going to have
awesome.
Chris Perkins and Mike Merles talk about the brand new story. And there's going to be some fun.
Are you going?
I am going.
Are you going, Nathan?
I'm going.
Shelley, are you going?
I'm not going.
You're too busy launching Betrayal at House on the Hill expansion. You got work to do.
That's true.
Okay.
We'll save some pudding for you.
I'm going to do my own event then.
Matt Mercer is going.
That's right. He's leading the charge.
He better be.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of has to. He's Dungeon Master, right?
I hope he's going.
We got other people. I'm not going to say who because I don't know who we've announced yet.
Hosted by Allison Hayslip.
Nice.
Do you know who?
I know that
Whisper
she...
Whisper it to me.
It's
who else is going? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So good.
Vin Diesel.
What? No, what? No.
What? No,
no.
I didn't say that.
Oh, that's not. You gotta.
Now that's too
kidding.
Much of a tease. That's
he's
a tease.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Right.
We will not be fast and/or furious during this event. Sadly to say. What else? What else do we have to announce? Do you want to talk a little bit more about Betrayal? You want people to know about Widow's Walk?
It's very exciting.
That doesn't sound exciting.
I mean, I can't. It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming out.
I was in a meeting the other day. Shelley was presenting to the execs, and she said verbatim,
she says,
"This is the most exciting project I have worked on in my entire tenure at Wizards." And she's been at Wizards for 15 years. That's a lot of tenure.
And she's got the chance to talk about it right now. And you're like, yeah, it's coming out.
We've talked about it so much on here.
All right, fine. Go look at our backlog.
We have copies in the office now.
That is true.
Hot off the press.
Yeah. We saw those last week.
That was maybe the coolest thing ever.
They look really good.
They look so good. Yeah. They look so good.
Yeah.
Shelly did a little when she opened the box and saw the tiles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to open it. I was just...
And then they said it was your job.
They told
you
me
had
to.
You have to open this.
No, seriously. We have to do a quality check. Open it.
Well, it's true.
Want to.
Well, last announcement then is to go check out Dungeon Delve, which is our other Dungeons & Dragons podcast. We remastered all of our old episodes with Acquisitions Incorporated.
That is no small feat.
Yeah, all thanks to Ryan. Thank you, sir.
Welcome again.
You also get a slow cap from Shelley, apparently. Well done, sarcastically.
His writer includes that as well.
Yes, exactly. We've got lots of writers.
He gets the slow clap. Yours was more enthusiastic.
Oh, nice.
But we have all the episodes
from
the audio podcast that you may remember cut up into hour-long episodes, so you can listen to them on your commute as well. All of the ones that were only previously in video form are now in audio form, too, a feature that many people have been asking for many years.
Yes.
So now you can catch up with the story of Acquisitions Incorporated before their series, which drops this summer on a weekly basis.
There's so much happening.
It all coincides with our brand new storyline, which you're going to find out at D&D Live from Meltdown on June 1st. So everything points to June 1st as being lots of fun. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Sorry, Shelly.
I'm going to watch it, though.
Yeah.
I'll be there watching.
Live. Watch it on the Twitches.
4 p.m. PDT, whatever that means.
It's daylight time. Pacific Daylight Time.
Pacific Daylight Time.
Yeah, see, I don't like, because that just confuses people, so I usually leave the D out.
Well, the problem is I don't know which one's daylight and which one's
standard. Yeah, no one does, is the problem.
Yeah, I know when it happens, you fall back, you spring forward. I just didn't know which one was daylight.
Exactly.
I got called out once because I was like, PST, and they were like, it's actually PDT now. Oh, sorry, you had no idea what I meant.
Thanks, Obama.
Okay.
Yeah, right. It was Bush, actually, who changed
it.
Yeah,
sorry.
Right. I only know that because it happened when I was working at a bank that had, I had all these international people that I had to do a meeting with. And it happened that when the U.S. changed their daylight savings time date, it screwed it up because every country does it differently. And so I had to track like when this meeting was happening, and it would be like everybody would call and be like, "Well, I thought it was happening now."
You worked in banking?
I was gonna go there too.
Yeah, seriously, screw the PDT time.
Like, I worked for the Rothschilds.
Really?
Yes, Rothschild Investment Banking, private owned corporation, still owned by the Rothschild family.
A secret organization.
What did you do?
Exactly.
The colonel with his weed beady eyes. Like those Rothschilds?
Yes, exactly. The lizard people that rule the world. Yes, that's those people. He was actually very kind.
Known as the Meadow.
We could do the entire scene from So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Sorry, you started it.
It's so good.
So I learned that they do different daylight savings time in different countries the hard way. So this is many, many moons ago. I'm over in Paris, and we are leaving like day after Easter or something, and we're setting like five different alarms so we don't miss our plane and all this stuff. But we didn't account for the fact that daylight savings time was happening that weekend because it had already happened in America before we left. And so all of a sudden we're like, oh, crap. We are going to miss our thing because it sprang forward an hour and we didn't know because we already sprang.
I can't do that.
Yeah, it was so stressful.
Time traveled, daylight savings.
Ooh, yeah. I time traveled.
Can't do it.
You time travel.
Can't figure it out.
We time travel in this podcast all the time. I don't know if you know that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Seeing as we have to be like, wait, this comes out weeks in advance, we have to like know
when dates
are.
Wait, what day is this one coming out?
This day is May 24th.
Hello, past Nathan.
Yes.
Future Nathan.
Hi, future Nathan.
Yeah.
We both went.
Hi.
refuge.
We all have
Nathan issues. Nathan is tiny.
Well, I'm limited in my vocal range today, so we're going
Yeah. So what's going
Teddy
on?
See, Teddy Pendergrass. Is it Pendergrass or Grest? Grass. Okay.
Teddy Pendergrass.
See, you could. This song would be perfect for you in your low octaves.
In my current
Can you say,
sexy
turn
voice.
Off the lights.
Turn off the lights.
Oh my God! It's like Teddy's in the room.
He's got it.
Yeah.
We're gonna do karaoke D&D podcast for the rest of the thing.
Oh.
Let's take a shower.
Let's take a shower.
Shower together.
No more, no more. We're going to do 7 seconds before we get copyrighted.
Do you want to hear a Nathan karaoke funny song?
Yeah. Yes.
So, also many moons ago, all of my stories are many moons ago, because I haven't had any good stories in the last moon.
Well, you had a kid, so.
Yeah, that does it. Yeah. So, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I was working on the Xbox team, and a friend of mine was managing Xbox Music Mixer, which was their karaoke software. Mm-hmm. And we were good friends, sat right next to each other, reported to the same boss and everything. So he had a whole media tour planned before his kid was born. Well, his kid was born like 8 weeks early.
Oh, no.
Like unheard of, right? Crazy stuff. So he didn't plan for it. He actually did plan for it. He planned perfectly. So the media tour was already scheduled and they needed someone to fill in. And so I'm like, well, I'll help out. I'll fill in. But you had to sing karaoke, and I kind of didn't realize that.
That's awful. No.
And it was limited songs on the thing, so the only song that I could do with any kind of humor or entertainment value at all was Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah, so
did
I did
that. Did you do it in, like, the cake style or, like, Gloria style?
Oh, Gloria style.
Really?
Yeah, I
think
owned
that would
it.
Be hard.
I owned it. And my best interview, I still have a clip today, was up in Toronto with Naked News. And there I am singing Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive on Naked News.
That's amazing.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I need to hear it.
This is the wrong voice. As long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I did that at karaoke once, and I tried to do it the cake style.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, let's do a shout out to all the people who are they're heartbroken. I don't know. For some reason, I was drunk. I was like, I did like a whole
karaoke.
Like,
I was
drunk
ahead of time, right?
On the corner.
And then three women come up on stage and started to do the song with me, and I was like, well, wait, I wanted to do
well,
it for it. You, not like to like a
were
together
they your backup
thing.
Dancers?
No, like I never met them before.
Might as well face it. No, not.
And
like
then that. They started looking at me like I was being rude by not sharing the mic with them.
That's terrible.
And it ended up being like my most like unhappy karaoke event because I started
and
sharing
you ended
with
up
them.
Marrying one of them. One of them was Aaron.
Yeah, exactly.
And true. That's how we met.
Yeah.
Do you know I ran into Aaron?
You did.
Did she tell you that?
No. We both live in West Seattle.
In the grocery store.
Due to Shelley. Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. She was buying a bottle of wine and a pizza.
That seems about right.
That's a Monday night.
Yeah. Was she singing karaoke there as well?
No.
Was she playing Dungeons & Dragons there?
Totally.
Nice.
She was with her friend, neighbor.
She
that guy place. That had his arm around her.
Wait, what?
Other good karaoke song is saying Bismarcky.
Oh, I mean.
Wait, Bismarck, like,
you say he's just a friend. Yeah, because, I mean, you can just be bad.
Have you, all right, now we're totally in, like, kids mode, but have you watched Yo Gabba Gabba? And Bismarcky is, like, a big part of that show.
No.
I'm fundamentally against Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Yeah.
I love it.
Although Casper Baby Pants, I'm all in.
Okay. I like, Casper I can do.
Yeah.
He's a Seattle local guy.
Yeah.
Not many people know him. Who is Casper Baby Pants for our listeners at home?
Is he from Soundgarden?
No,
is he
Presidents
from
of the United
Presidents
States.
Presidents of the United States, yeah.
Oh, wait, is it really?
Yeah.
Brian's not, what's his name?
Pusa?
Brian? Chris? Chris something.
What is it? Chris, whatever. He also has another line. Like, he's totally in on the whole thing. Now he started with, like, the young adults, right, with Presidents, and then he went kids with Casper Baby Pants, and now he's got, like, a
senior
song
citizens.
That's, like, like 10-year-old, 12-year-olds. Like, he's gone the whole gamut. He's got
really?
Kids, though,
like, what do you sing for 10-year-olds?
Weird Al Yankovic type stuff, maybe?
Oh. Yeah, probably more parody stuff and, you know, maybe leave out some of the F-bombs.
He's very good.
Yeah. He plays at Top Hot Donuts all the time.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was the guy from. No, is it the singer from Presidents or is it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm mad that no one has told me that. Like, I've known about them.
It's been a secret all this time.
I'm mad at you too. I'm looking at you. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm the one who turned you on to the book, the Darth Vader Princess Leia book. Okay.
You've had kids longer than we have. You should have known this stuff.
That's probably true, but it's a Seattle thing. I feel like because I didn't know about Casper Baby Pants back east.
God, if then only there was an internet or an iTunes where this data could live.
None of that stuff exists in North Carolina.
Or like a Pandora station.
None of those things exist. Sorry. Mm. But switching tracks to Dungeons and Dragons,
you guys don't actually talk about Dungeons and Dragons
usually
on the podcast, do you?
No.
It's like you guys just disappear. Hey, we're doing the podcast,
and then you guys are
down here drinking.
Oh, I mean,
pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. We pretty much we are the Hoda and Kathy Lee of Dungeons and Dragons
podcast.
That's
what we've been called.
I'm Kathy Lee, clearly.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So we like to talk to people about their origin story, where they started playing Dungeons and Dragons. And
nice.
Someone on the Twitters said, why haven't we heard from Nathan and find out where he started playing?
By the way, thank you. That was so nice. It's the first time someone's actually made a special shout out to me related to that. That was awesome. You know who you are.
You know who you
thank
are.
Thank you, we don't... Nathan's wife.
With a pseudonym.
Could have been. She's big on that Twitter. Origin stories. Well, funny story, actually. When I, so in my career, I've worked almost exclusively in video game publishing. But when I got called for this job, I was so excited because what really got me into video games, like hardcore to begin with, was Dungeons and Dragons. So I remember it fondly. It was 1988. And my cousin Freddie. So I lived a kind of a weird life and traveled around a lot, kind of like an army brat. So I went to 14 schools before I got to college and just moved a ton. And then I went to live with my aunt and uncle for a little while. And I was living with my cousin, and he was much older and very cool. I mean, very cool.
Yeah.
He and his buddies, they played Dungeons and Dragons. And so I was watching at first just in awe, like, oh my God, I want to be at that table. But then when he was gone, I'd always go through his crates and just start reading through his books. And they were all, I think second edition was out at the time, but his stuff was all AD&D, because you don't always rush out and get the new stuff. So it was all the AD&D books. So I had the Fiend Folio and the Player's Handbook. And I remember all of it vividly. And so I was just kind of going through, and I would shop in the Player's Handbook like I was going on some kind of, all you can spend shopping spree. But I was funny because I was also very much I wouldn't have that much gold. So I was trying to see what the best bargains were. So I liked a sword of sharpness better than a Vorpal sword because they were almost the same, but the sword of sharpness was cheaper. I was ever going to get any of them.
Yeah, you're the Walmart shopper of D&D.
Yeah, well, coupons,
thrifty,
right?
He's
it was very thrifty. Yeah. But yeah, so I started playing with my cousin and his friends, and they
let you play?
They let me in.
What was the turning point that they...
I think that I just bugged them enough. Mm-hmm.
Your aunt was come on, seriously.
Yeah, I think Aunt Jeannie probably said, hey, Freddie, you got to let him in and whatnot. And so
what was the age disparity?
That was a good 12 or 14 years.
Oh, okay. So they were we were in their 20s.
So they were early 20s, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's
mid 20s, I guess.
I could see that being a little bit I don't know if I want the 10
year. Yeah, they let me hang out and do a lot of cool stuff. So, I did get to, I went to my first concerts with Cousin Freddie and did all kinds of stuff. So the D&D wasn't a big stretch, but I think the problem was they were kind of getting out of D&D. They were kind of getting more into video games and some other stuff right then. And I was just learning about it for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
So they had two DMs, and I think Scott, who is the nice DM, Carlos was the a-hole DM.
Fucking Carlos.
I know, that dude. He would try it. Always TPK, he was always going for it. But so Scott, I think, was hey, Nate, yeah, come to the table. And so, and he was DM, and so he was being super nice, because here I am first-level character, and they were all super high-level. So he was having to do the extra work to kind of balance it out. And then I think he came over one time and ran a couple adventures with three of us so that I could level my guy up a little bit and get
credit.
Some gear. Yeah, so nice. I started playing with them, and I fell in love with it. And then when I moved, I lost my D&D party, so I had to go to video games and play Bard's Tale and Wasteland and all the Ultima and all that kind of stuff. So I continued my RPGs just on computer, and then kind of from then I was hooked on video games. And lo and behold, you can make a career out of that. Well, back then, no one, right?
So what did you always carry that love throughout?
Oh yeah, always. Always, always. Actually, it's funny because I never thought of myself as an RPG gamer, except for no matter what game system I was working on or no matter what game system I had at home, I was always 200 hours deep into Oblivion or whatever. I'm no, I don't really like RPGs that much. I'm but you played them all.
Yeah.
And for hundreds of hours, I'm oh, yeah. But Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you still see?
But yeah. So I've always loved it. I mean, I think in general, I think it's what, you know, like I've just got that origin, you know, kind of fondness for it in the sense that, you know, that's what taught me even about gaming and the concepts and stuff. And number two, you know, it was just kind of a pivotal point having my cousin kind of let me into the older, cooler thing or whatnot. So I think it always stuck with me like that. So yeah, I've always loved Dungeons and Dragons, but to be fair, I didn't play 3 or 3.5. So I played AD&D 4th edition, and then obviously now current 5th edition. But I never did the middle. I was, I don't know, stuff.
Yeah.
Always a player or DM or both?
I've never done any real true DMing. I want to. I'm developing a couple different adventures right now. Not developing the adventures. I'm taking other adventures and just kind of making them so that I can, you know, like tweak them and make them. I think I feel like a really high bar.
Yeah.
So I think pressure-wise, I've always felt like, I mean, I've stepped in and DM'd like on like an ad hoc kind of thing before or whatnot, but like never like the full-on campaign. And then now that I sit, you know, 10 feet from 5 of the best dungeon masters in the world, I'm like, sure, yeah, I'm
just don't play
dungeon
with
master.
That.
Yeah, you just got to jump in, right? Like that's part of it. I mean, because a lot of people have that thing with dungeon mastering where you have to like know all the rules inside and out, or you have to be like super uber prepared. Or you're comparing yourself to Chris Perkins, or you know, on Acquisition Incorporated, or Matt Mercer in Critical Role. You just gotta jump in. It's so much easier and more fun than you think it is gonna be.
Yeah, yeah. Or Sarah Kirchy, or you, or Trevor. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. No, I think the part about it is that, you know, as a dungeon master, I think you've got a great responsibility for, you know, the kind of general entertainment there, and people are putting their trust in you. And so I really want to live up to that. It's, you know.
With great power.
See, you're already a good DM, though, because you recognize that and you're like, I want to make this fun.
Yeah.
So you're already going to be good.
Yeah. And I want to give people, I think, something that's a little bit unexpected. You know, like my favorite thing when I see DMs do this is... like I like critical failures almost better than critical hits.
Yeah.
Like if you roll a 1, then I almost want to roll like the D10 and see which party member gets hit and where.
Yeah.
You know, like you swing, you miss so bad, you actually take off the left pinky of your cleric. Whoops.
Whoops.
I love that. There's an old table from a Dragon magazine that was the critical failure table, and it's in the Dragon Compendium that was released for 3.5, I think. And my party used that all the time. It still works for 5th. It's amazing. It's just it's because it's like you said, like you know, deal 1d damage because you hit you know your friend or you yourself fall down and break your weapon.
Yeah,
I love those.
I love the broken weapon ones. Yeah, that's awesome. I like the idea too of like shooting an arrow. Like if you're you know you're playing a ranger or something, you shoot an arrow and you roll 1, and it's like tink tink.
Whoops. How did it hit me? That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe you should practice on kids.
Practice shooting bows and arrows
shooting
at kids?
Shooting bows and arrows.
Yeah.
I think like my daughter or like strangers?
Strangers.
Strangers.
Yeah.
The DMing with kids. You know,
well,
kids, because they're enthusiastic, they want to learn, they're a good audience, and they don't know all the rules, so if you don't...
What if I practice on employees who just want to make me feel like, you know, I got a golf clap?
I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm
you're in, right?
Well played. This has all been a Dungeon Mastering session that we're beginning right now.
I'm in.
No, I think I'm close. To be honest, I think it's just because I like the kind of openness and fun, and it doesn't have to all be combat for me. So I think the first like bona fide real adventure I'm going to run is one by Alpha Stream from the Dungeon Masters Guild.
Yeah.
And it's actually like a Iron Chef competition.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's totally up my alley because I really like
to
cook.
Oh, I got to check that one out.
Yeah, so it's something kind of fun, something off the wall, because I think that's the best part about D&D, right, is like, you know, no matter what you like, I'm sure that there's some version of it in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, and you can put your own storytelling flair on anything. Yeah, right, in any genre and make it right. Yeah. I like the Iron Chef. I love Iron Chef.
Me too.
I love the guy. Is I don't know if Alpha Stream wrote this in, but is there a guy that bites a pepper in the beginning of the adventure?
There is in yours.
Okay.
Not in mine.
But can I be that player? Just
in mine, I will tell you that there's a secret... passageway behind the tapestry, just FYI in case.
Oh, okay. Good. Good to know. I'll do some searching. Do you know that guy, the actor that plays that guy who bites the thing?
Actor?
He's an actor.
Wait a minute.
I know. He's not the real chairman.
What?
He's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like actually playing like a real character.
But that's such a weird role that they've just hired an actor to do that quick little...
I know, right? Yeah. In the Food Network version of Iron Chef.
Huh.
It's not... Yeah. Sorry.
I'm kind of...
Did you think he was a real Iron Chef?
I guess I never really thought about it. But yeah, I just assumed.
Yeah. Sad. Hmm. He was also in Double Dragon. The actor. He was like one of the people in Double Dragon.
Double Dragon?
The only movie that might be lower ranked than Dungeons & Dragons movie.
It's true. Yeah. The game adaptation movie that nobody remembers because it was not very good.
Although I loved me some Double Dragon.
The movie?
No, the game.
Oh, the game. Yeah. Two is better than one.
And Bad Dudes.
Bad Dudes. I had that for NES.
Bad Dudes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad Dudes.
I remember because that was the opening. You put in the thing and it was like, I'm bad. That's what they say whenever you beat every level. Is I'm bad.
Oh yeah, it's a total like '80s mock fest. It's the best.
It's called Bad Dudes.
Bad Dudes.
Bad Dudes, which is totally like it was like a Double Dragon like takeoff.
Oh,
a little bit. Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, yeah, kind of in the genre, but yeah, kind of. These guys were like the cooler, more hip versions of the Double Dragon guys.
Oh, totes. Bad totes Dudes. Totes. They sound cool and hip.
So I'm gonna be doing a Dungeons and Dragons themed Double Dragon adventure. I think that'll be fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You're like, what, do I see anything? No, but if you walk upstairs, you might. Wait, I jump downstairs. Wait, I walk back upstairs. You're like, wait a minute. How many steps am I getting for this?
The person you just fought dropped a whip and a broken bottle. Would you like to pick them up? These are your only weapons going forward.
I pick up a rock.
All right.
Sweet. So, do you stay in touch with Cousin Freddie?
Yeah, I want to hear about Cousin Freddie.
Thanks to the Facebook. Yes, I do. I told him when I got this job at D&D, I said, I owe it all thanks to you, Cousin.
Seriously?
Yeah. No, we do. He's a cool guy. He was a fun part of my life. And I think I've seen him, you know, before Facebook, it was harder to see and catch up on people and stuff. And so I would see him probably like every 3 or 4 or 5 years. But now I feel like I see him a little bit more. He's got like 5 Facebook pages, I think, because he was playing a lot of Facebook games and wanted to like send himself things.
So Cousin Freddie's still a gamer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And Aunt Jeannie is still a gamer, too. Like, Aunt
really?
Jeannie, I posted something for, like, Leroy Jenkins, and she goes, oh, my God, I love Warcraft. I haven't played that forever.
Oh, no
really?
Way.
That's
cool. Yeah, Aunt Jeannie used to play some D&D with us, too. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, she would jump in there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How old was she? Was she in the, like, 20 years older than her son?
So she was...
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, at that time, she would have been... She would have been like 45 at that time. It was in the 80s.
Oh, my mom was so still is very anti Dungeons and Dragons from the religious background. So it's
still,
always like.
Still?
I think she now knows that it is my livelihood, so she doesn't quite harp on it so much. But I was wearing a Rage of Demons t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
And she was like, what is that? I'm like, well.
Are you guys from the Bible Belt?
No, my mom's just very hardcore Catholic.
Catholics don't usually have a problem with D&D because we're super into purgatory and things like that. Like we're right in there with the Catholic
faith.
So many
demons.
Yeah, if you think of it as a story, but she actually thinks those things are real and exist, and that demons exist, so that if you play a game in which you say Beelzebub or any of the demon names, that
that's actually not a demon in your house.
Well, true, but like, but she thought that by invoking them or using these spells that they would actually gain power here in our world.
You know, they
not knowing that it's a fiction.
Hardcore Catholics also, I'm totally generalizing here, but they don't like Ouija boards either.
It's true.
I think it's the same spirit, though.
My friend probably is still mad at me.
I'm just going to throw it out there, though. You know that we're not actually casting the spells, right? Like, yeah, okay.
Oh, man, I do.
You do.
I do. I know that, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I mean, this question comes up a lot, especially when you're talking kind of more mainstream and stuff. And, everything was some version of satanic whatever. I mean, in the 80s, even before D&D, rock and roll was the devil's work, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now video games, I think, has actually taken it from D&D. So video games are whatever, you know. So, I mean, I think that one of my life's rules is everything in moderation, and I'm pretty sure that's words to live by.
There was one, I mean, on that same theme where it was like comic books and everything going back. Crossword puzzles was the thing
work
in the 20s.
Devil.
In the 20s, yeah. It was like,
the devil is so good at delegating.
He really does.
Just do my work.
And mostly through you know, whatever is popular in the culture at the moment.
Although, if we're going to talk about the devil and crossword puzzles, I think it's reusing a lot of the same words and clues over again. Because my wife does crossword puzzles, and she knows these random things. I'm like, why? She goes, oh, they use that in crossword all the time.
Always. Yeah, they always have, they have very
typical certain ones. Like if it's a three-letter word that starts with an O, like there's only three.
My mom does a lot of crosswords. She taught me some of those.
Once you know the tropes, it gets a lot of
What?
I don't know your mom teaching you that.
It's not cool to have your mom.
No, the work of the devil. I mean, I'm just saying.
You'll eat the crossword. The crossword devil.
She wanted to pass that on to me.
Yeah. Well, we should talk to Mike Salinker, you know, about more about the crosswords. He was just on here. And
does he do crosswords?
He makes crosswords, yeah.
He does puzzles.
That's kind of cool. I kind of wish I could.
Yeah, I do too.
Chris Perkins does that too.
Of course he does. Chris Perkins does everything. Chris Perkins doesn't sleep.
He could like turn one out. Yeah. Here you go.
I'm pretty sure that Chris Perkins doesn't even eat. He just, like, Mork and Mindy, like...
He actually
absorbs everything.
He can eat an entire pie in, like,
just by looking at it. Yeah, just by, like, eating.
Consumed. I love that we're increasing the legend of Chris Perkins with everything,
yeah.
He can also figure out the square root of negative one.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Divide by zero, he can do it. Yeah.
And his license plate, his X-File. How cool is that?
I know.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, how do you even get that?
I was driving.
You know what? He got it before X-Files even came out. That's how long his head was.
Whoa! He knew about it before it was
X-File
a thing.
X-File is based on Chris Perkins.
We were driving. I was driving Chris Perkins to the airport after PAX East, and I had Patrick Stewart on the Nerdist on my phone and just happened to be listening to it on the way there because it was like 5 in the morning, and of course I was like, let's not talk. Let's just listen. They were nerding out about individual Star Trek Next Generation episodes. And then Chris was just like, oh, yeah, I would do any of this rattle off episode name. And I was like, what? He's like, oh, yeah, no, I have all that stuff memorized. I'm like, okay. And I was like, I would do the one with the flute. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. And I was like, oh yeah, okay.
What?
It was just like crazy. I was like, of course you know all about things that I'm passionate about in my childhood. Of course. That makes total sense.
William Shatner, when he does The Price Negotiator, actually gets Chris to do it for him.
I just want Ben Folds to do a soundtrack for Chris Perkins one day. We can make it happen.
Let's make that happen.
All right, let's
do it. What about your other guy, Pemberton?
Pendergrass?
Pendergrass. You think he'll do one for Chris Perkins?
He will.
Why Ben Folds? I'm not getting that.
Because he did the Priceline Negotiator.
Priceline Negotiator.
Back when that character was first, it was Ben Folds was playing the piano and doing all the
Are
music
you
for it. Yeah,
didn't know that.
In the background. Mm-hmm. And then they worked together and they did a album.
Chris Perkins and Ben Folds. No.
Yes, let's just go with a yes on that. It's hot. It's going to drop.
Happen.
It's going to drop this fall. Maybe we'll talk about it.
You said drop like survive. You're not a dad.
I know, right? It's going to drop.
You're a dad.
That was my character, my DJ character.
Oh, sorry. I'm blowing your
my cover.
He's wearing the headphones. He's got a microphone.
Well, the musical collaboration that we were just talking about will also be detailed at D&D Live from Meltdown.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I see you did there. You brought it back around.
Yeah. You like that?
Yeah. All right. Well, you know who else is going to be there?
Who else is going to be there?
I'm going to be there.
Sweet. Nathan Stewart.
Nathan Stewart.
Gaston's going to be there, I'm sure.
Yeah. So tell the listeners about Gaston.
Okay. So if you've never seen, you have seen Gaston. If you've ever seen anything from Meltdown, you have seen Gaston because he's just like the Forrest Gump of like the geek world. Like he's got a little bit, he's got his finger in a little bit of everything. And like you're just watching the show and you're like, there's Gaston just walking around the thing. Like Gaston's BFF with the director Del Toro. And
Benicio del Toro?
Yeah, it's like their BFF, and like I think Gaston's like the godfather, or he's the godfather of his kids. Or
Guillermo,
like,
it's Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo, yeah. And so like, but just random stuff. Like I just have the feeling that like when we look back in history, you're going to see Gaston's been like, you know, he doesn't even have an IMDb page because he's just been like in every episode ever. He's like the Chris Perkins, but for Hollywood, you know, because he's owned Meltdown for like 30 years.
Everybody knows him.
Everybody's come in that shop. Everyone, you know, all the comics have done their time back in the Nerd Melt room in the back, you know, all the Nerdist stuff. So like, you know, yeah, Chris Hardwick's like, hey, Gaston, what should I do for such and such? And Gaston's like, well, this is cool now. Like Gaston just like is West Coast. Like, I don't know what the East Coast version is. Like, so when it's East Coast, West Coast, like, I don't know. Like, Tupac, I don't know who Biggie is, but like that's his level of kind of like nerd cool.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I think I just love the fact that someone told me this and I was like, oh, he's way nicer than this character, but he is the basis of the character, the comic book nerd from The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, but, like, he's so nice compared
he's,
to that.
Yeah, right, that guy's a little bit more like, that's it. But he is that guy. If you look at him, he knows everything and he knows everybody. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And if you look at our promo for D&D Live from Meltdown.
He's wandering around
He's wandering around in the background.
You totally see where, like, there's Gaston.
Yeah.
Gaston spotted. There's Gaston.
Allison is just doing her spiel, and he's just, he's the Alfred Hitchcock of that promo.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. It's
he's
pretty
funny.
Sweet.
He just rolls in. He's like, blows your mind, then leaves, and then you're like, that was Gaston. He's got the music by Ben Folds.
He's the one who's doing it. Yeah, he's going to, that album's going to drop. And then, and then just being in the room at Meltdown Comics is going to be super fun because there's, like you said, it's like this hotbed of where everyone goes to get like their comics, but also just to talk about like what's going on in their world.
Well, the funny thing is, like, we're shutting it down for the day, but I don't think anyone knows that. So I have a feeling that random celebrities are just going to show up anyway. And they're going to be like, wow, I didn't know that they were joining your D&D game today. And we'll be like, yeah, they totally are. But they were just really popping in to see what was new.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you just...
Tell us what's going to happen that day. Like, take us through, you get there, what do we have? What do we get?
I mean, we're gonna. So the whole thing is like just to unveil all the new story stuff, right? Like, so we want to, you know. So the live stream starts at 4:00. So we're gonna get there in the middle of the day, and it's gonna be all the boring downtime where we're gonna eat pudding and tacos,
that's not boring.
And elixirs,
yeah, that's not boring
at all. And I'm gonna dip my taco in
play
pudding.
Some D&D, and you know, we're even gonna try the Oculus or the
HTC Vive. Is gonna
be
there with
I think we're gonna
VR.
Do that for the Altspace VR and stuff. But so really, what we're doing though is we're just getting our cast. We have not announced the party members yet, but we're getting together and, you know, just kind of getting them like acclimated to the story.
You're not announcing the cast until that day?
We might share some of them leading into that, but we're going to try and have some surprises. So
you know who they are though, right?
Yeah, but I'm not going
to
tell
come to your office after.
We're not telling you, Shelley.
Definitely not telling you.
Yeah, because no, you'll leak it everywhere.
Yeah. So you know, so like we're going to hang out, talk about the latest D&D story, just set up all the stuff. I mean, I think in like a, you know, I mean, it's an only like an hour and a half that we're going to do the live show for everyone streaming, but you know, a lot of setup going into that in the beginning. So then
that's where you'll hear from Chris and Mike talking about what.
So Chris and Mike's going to be on site, and actually I think we're getting our partners in there, so you know, the Neverwinter guys and you know, hopefully our friends from Mighty Fine and from
Wheel of Fine.
Wheel of Fine, is that their new name?
That's their name, yeah.
Yeah, was Mighty Fine.
It was.
That's right, I'm old school.
I want to make sure we got it in there right.
Wheel of Fine. Sorry, Guy.
Guy Brand is.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Gaston knows him from like 25 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, Wheel of Fine. He's like, oh, yeah, Guy and Stacy, like I'm BFF with them.
That's
and
crazy.
Then I talked to a guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, I love Gaston. Gaston knows everyone.
Everyone.
But, yeah, so, I mean, basically we're just going to hang out and, you know, look and be steeped in D&D stuff and, like, put up all the artwork and do stuff. You know, so, like, we've got the, you know, all the new campaign stuff is going to go up. Like, we're going to paint it on the back wall in the entrance, like graffiti.
What? Somebody's painting it?
Like,
somebody's
live during the thing. We're going to have, like, a camera peeking in during the day and stuff.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, doing, like, fashion show. And, like, it's just, like, it's a whole day of just D&D campaign taking over the whole store, like, every inch that we can think of. And then at the end, wait, no, I'm not going to say the end. That's no.
This is the end.
So then we're going to go through all the stuff. And then we got the adventuring party. And so Matt Mercer and the adventuring party, we're going to, you know, give everyone the sneak peek at the new show that's going to be also, you know, we got the Acquisitions Inc. show,
yep.
But then we got this other show that's going to also be running along in the summer, so you can get like tons of Dungeons and Dragons all summer long
with these cast members.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You're
pretty
in.
Cool, right?
In.
Pretty cool, right? And so then Matt, after
Matt's
that, they film their comedy show that night. Nerd Melt.
We're going to stick around, and we've been told there's going to be like lots of fun D&D mentions in there and cool stuff.
Who's performing?
We don't know.
We don't know. Jonah Ray is the host for the thing, but we don't know who's on stage. But apparently, when they're coming in, when they're casting him or when they're booking him, they're like, "Hey, D&D," and they're like, you know. And so if they're big D&D fans, then they're booking him for that night and telling them,
"Make
sure
they
D&D.
Spool up all their D&D material."
Maybe you need to have some of your material.
Well, now you're really stressing me out.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm encouraging.
Okay. I'm gonna start and with the scripts from last week.
You said you told me in all of our carpooling that you wanted to do the stand up again.
Yeah, I do. I really do. Between all that that time of all those video games I have to play and Dungeons and Dragons
that
I have to play
rearing.
And that child rearing I have to do.
Well, you're Meryl and that end, so that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. Right. It's like this. Go ahead. Play with your dolls. That's fine.
They're fantastic. Yeah. They don't even need your help. They've learned everything they can from you.
Yeah. Well, they don't know that they're actually just my stand-up material growers.
Wild they have kids.
Yeah, nice. Exactly.
There's no other.
That's it. I mean, there's airports.
We have remote controls now. We really don't need a cat.
I do not have a cat.
That's another good piece of it. Our cat is actually an overlord trying to take over the world, and he's limited because, of course, paws and no credit cards. And so, actually, when Harper was born, they formed an alliance because he saw her as a vessel.
Yes.
Yeah. So the first time we saw her and him in the office at the computer, and one of the credit cards was out, mine was kind of like, "What is going on?"
What would be the first thing your cat would have Harper order online?
Cat toys.
Nuclear warhead.
Cat toys.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of that old Steve Martin bit where he's like, "The cat dressed as me went to the bank and started cashing all my checks." And I would never have found out of it except I went to his thing and there was a bunch of cat toys everywhere. And I hate it when they go under the couch. And then you'd be like, "Oh, wait, he's the cat pretending." Oh, it's old Steve Martin bits are genius. And I want you all to go back and read them.
I will.
Read them.
And watch June 1st. 4 p.m.
Yes. Steve Martin is going to be there.
Greg Keto.
You never know. That's stand-up. The thing about Meltdown. You never know who's going to show
it's true.
Up. He might.
Alec Baldwin.
He might.
Jason Schwartzman.
I love him.
No, we're not him.
I like him.
I told him not to come.
We're going to save him for another
event.
You
told him the event was June 2nd.
No, I just told him. I said, "Jason, I go, you know, we can't handle it. We can't handle it. You know, it's just too much if you show up. So, like, maybe we could save your particular brand of humor for another time."
He's
no, I love
good.
Him.
He's
when I saw him good. In Rushmore, I've been a fan ever since.
Me too.
Oh, are they?
He's so fun.
These are OR scripts.
Oh, are they?
I wrote a hit play. So good. Yeah, I want to go back and relive my high school years, but in that boarding school vein. Like that's my dream. It's gonna be like Ferris Bueller and Rushmore together.
Something seriously wrong.
There's no response to that.
No, there's no response.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've cleared it all out then. Thank you for coming down here and talking to us, Nathan.
You're welcome. Thank you to my one fan. You're awesome. Keep listening.
I'm sure this podcast will grow up to like 10 fans.
10 fans?
10 fans. Woo! Where can they find you on the Twitters?
Nathan B. Stewart on the Twitter.
And you are dropping all kinds of swag pictures.
I do give away random swag. Yeah. I do mostly pictures. Every now and then I'll drop a picture of my adorable daughter in there, but mostly it's all just D&D stuff. Trevor and Greg Tito always get pissed because I actually leak things sometimes
That's
on
true.
There because I can. If you want you want D&D info, I got it. And if you want every now and then to like get the scoop, I'm not too bad to follow on that one. But yeah, just random stuff, you know, just here you go, here's the cool D&D dice, like here's a new this, here's a, you know, here's who the next person we're going to announce on the June 1st event is.
Yeah.
I'm totally going to scoop you on that.
You totally are. Oh, wow. I know it. Yeah. And we don't get, to be fair, Trevor and I don't get angry. We just more get like, okay.
Oh, we're not, talking about that today.
That's what Nathan's doing.
They're just disappointed.
No, not even disappointed. More just like a,
Surprise.
/ like a befuddled.
You know, it's like.
You get befuddled.
Yeah. It's like when it's your birthday and you get a gift and it's got the holes in the sides, so you know there was an animal in there, but they forgot to give it to you in time, and so you open it.
No.
And it's been
like
a week
later.
No,
don't go there. Don't go there.
You're like, surprise!
I got hamster.
That's nothing like what this is.
No?
It's really not at all.
It really felt like it was similar.
Oh, okay.
Did I read the room wrong on
you
that
thought
one?
You were, yeah, right. Here's the dead cat that we were...
It was a cat?
Well, yes, it was.
There was a cat in the box?
Yeah, there was. And you let it out.
Schroeder's box?
Yes.
No.
Schrodinger's.
Schrodinger's?
Yes.
There's no cat in that box.
Ricky Schroeder's box? What?
We're silver spoons.
All right.
We all have silver spoons in our mouths right now.
No, I'm out of here. You guys, I'm done.
All right. You have work to go to. Go right. Make it happen.
He's got
peace
real
out.
Work.
Thanks,
real
Nathan.
Work. Bye, Nathan. Thanks.
That was awesome. Yeah. It's great having. Yeah. Schrodinger's.
Schrodinger's.
I don't think we made sure that we knew that. That's our boss who is just.
Grand boss.
What?
Is he your boss?
Oh, he's my boss. Is he your boss?
No.
Oh, who is your boss?
Liz.
Interesting. Well, I mean, he's my director.
Yeah, he's my director too.
Yeah.
But he's not your boss. He's your grand boss.
He's my grand boss. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why
he like spoils us.
And I love how he leaves the room after dropping dead cats.
Yeah. What, seriously, what is with this podcast and the dead cat?
Ryan? Look at you and I.
Ryan.
Well, that was great. I'm
we
glad
love
you guys
animals.
Get together. You guys see that look on Shelly's face.
Seriously. I have a cat
you
who's
do.
Home alone with a new dog right now.
And you have your new old dog. It's like the new adventures of old dog right
it
now.
Is. It is. This dog has been playing terrified of Zelda all weekend and was probably just waiting for us to leave him alone.
Yes.
He's like, come here, kitty.
You're like,
kitty.
No, we're going to make
come
this
here.
Happen. So follow Nathan. He's at Nathan
just
B. Stewart.
Just do it. Follow him.
He does lots of fun stuff on there. And he is, even though he's not my direct boss, he is my boss for many, many things. So
so follow Nathan and tell him how great we're doing.
Exactly, please. Especially as our reviews come up.
Yep.
All right. So we talked a lot about D&D Live for Meltdown. Watch that June 1st at 4 p.m. on the Twitch.
I can't wait.
Twitch.tv/
I gotta be honest.
Watsy_D&D.
Maybe I wasn't going to.
You son of a bee.
But you totally sold me. I'm
nice.
There.
Good.
I'm doing it.
I hope we sold the
I'm kidding. I was gonna
some
be
of our listeners.
Along. I was gonna do it all.
Sure you were.
No, I totally.
Sure you were. It's during work hours, so it's okay.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. Done and done. Maybe you can sit down with your cat and dog and watch it.
I will try to schedule my 2-hour lunch and my gym time around your
schedule.
Your live stream.
Thanks, Shelly.
Just kidding.
That really makes warms the cockles of my heart.
I'm bitter because I'm not going.
Yeah. Well, you can follow Shelly on Twitter and commiserate with her.
Yeah. Everyone who's not going to the Meltdown event.
You should start up like a protest hashtag.
Not
like
going.
Not at
hashtag.
Not at D&D Live.
Not eating black pudding.
Yeah.
Really, a pudding truck though? Seriously.
I know. I can't. The more we talk about it, the more dirty it gets in my head. So I need to stop talking
but
about
puddings,
it.
But pudding's making a comeback.
Yeah, $240 worth of pudding.
Like you just get like a little cup of pudding.
Yeah. How is that different than ice cream or some
it's
other dessert?
Pudding.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's. I don't feel like. I don't know. It's not as satisfying or gourmet.
Well, wait till you have it. Until you judge it.
I will.
Yeah?
I will.
What about the cronut? You weren't that, there are all these.
That
like,
kind of passed me by.
Yeah? What about the beard papa?
The who? Who's beard papa? Who's your beard
the
papa?
The cream puff thing that was like all the rage in New York one of the years that I was there.
Was it filled with beer?
Cream.
Where's the beer coming from?
Beard papa. It was like a Japanese thing. I'm not really sure.
Oh, I thought you said beer papa.
Maybe there's beer in it too. We'll do that.
That
also.
I would have been.
All right, so follow Shelly at Shelly Moo. I'm just going to say it from now on.
Thanks.
That's it. I'm taking it over
just
from
do
you.
Do it.
Yeah.
Fine.
I'm at Greg Tito, and you can tell me how I'm doing an awesome job, and then I can forward that on to Nathan. That works.
Yeah, we could just.
That works too.
Tag him in our responses.
And please rate and review us on iTunes. That always helps more people know about Dragon Talk and all about the wonderfulness of D&D. So please do that. And of course, check out Dungeon Delve for all of the remastered Acquisitions Incorporated, plus some other fun other live streams of D&D that are now in convenient audio form. Go check them out there.
Ryan worked really hard on that.
Ryan worked really, really hard on it.
So.
And that's the only reason you should be listening to it.
And if you need to compare us to Kathy Lee and Hoda, it's cool, man.
Can I be like Conan O'Brien and his sidekick, which the name
Wait.
Is forgetting me? Oh, man.
It's Conan, not Conan.
Sorry, I like to say Conan because it's very fantasy to me.
Andy Conan. Richter.
Andy Richter, that's it. Thank you.
I would be Andy.
Yes. You'd be Andy?
I would love to be Andy.
Can I be Conan?
Yeah.
Can I say Conan?
If you're him,
correctly?
Then you can say it however you want.
All right. Check out my weird hair. that's Conan for you. That's my Conan impression. All right. Well, I think we're done for today.
Really?
What do you guys think? You think
Probably.
We should wrap it up?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.